Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. We had a wonderful camp meeting. But I do want to say this in advance. Next year, Camp Meeting 2022 is the 50th camp meeting. Amen. So we're pretty excited about that. And we have some special things planned. So you don't want to miss Camp Meeting 2022. I know a lot of times, whenever you're at a location, it's funny, if you go out of town to go to some kind of event, you want to make sure you make every service and there the whole time. If you live in the city, a lot of times like, well, you know, it's just another church service. It's not going to be just another church service. Camp meeting is always a wonderful time. And I tell you, and if you, you know, obviously live in here, a lot of you might maybe had to work, especially during the day service. So every service is actually archived online. If you go to the Rhema USA YouTube app, you can watch every service. And so you can go back, you know, because, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word. Amen. Well, before we start today's service, don't forget about the podcast. This last past week, we had Karen Jensen Salisbury, who was a teacher here worked for the ministry for 9 years. Wonderful, wonderful lady. This week, we have our youth pastor, Pastor Zach Morris, this week. And so some of you might want to know where he came from, how he got, you know, to Rhema and things like that. Check out the podcast, all right? I used to say we have new episodes on Tuesday and Friday, but Tuesday and Thursday, but now it's Wednesday and Friday because sometimes I get them out there on Tuesday, but I got to leave myself an extra day because I actually download my own podcast. Amen. Well, praise God. You know, it's Communion Sunday. Well, I guess you guys are excited about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, you realize that what we're celebrating today is what Christianity is all about, because it was because of what Jesus did on the cross that we have what we have. It's because He took the stripes on His back that by His stripes we were healed. I mean, it's because He died on the cross that we have been given salvation. It's because of His name that is greater than any name. And it's all because of the cross. You know, I count it a privilege and an honor to have a communion time. And every time that I have to speak on communion, I always want to have some kind of communion message because I think it's very, very important. In fact, the church I was at, the one that was all excited about everything, in Whittier, California, Freedom Christian Center, they take communion every service. No wonder they're excited, you know, because they realize that what Jesus did for them. You know, 2,000 years ago, your life changed. Now, some people haven't figured out that their life changed 2,000 years ago, and they're still trying to figure out life. But you know what? Jesus figured out 2,000 years ago that your life was going to change. And we have been changed because of the cross. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And if you want to know more about this message, you can get my book. Well, it used to be my best-selling book, but my second book actually overtook the first one. But my first book was entitled The Power of God, and it came from these five scriptures. And if you happen to speak Spanish, it's available in Spanish. Poder de Dios. English and Spanish. You can also order online. You can go to the Kindle, get a Kindle, or not get a Kindle. You don't get one. You can buy it on the Kindle store or iBooks or Amazon. What was it? Barnes & Noble, if you're watching online. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. This is Paul talking to the church in Corinth. And here's what he says. He says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters. You know, it is kind of interesting. I'm going to stop right there. Paul was always very kind to talk to his church. You know, he always said, you know, dear brothers, dear sisters, you know, and especially now maybe there was some verses that had correction in them, but he wanted to make sure that everyone, that the church knew that he loved them. You know, I think sometimes that some pastors are more about correction than they're about showing the church that they love them. You know, but we should emulate God's love to the world. All right, anyway, he goes on to say, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. You know, it is interesting because some ministers, every time they minister, it seems like they have, you know, some kind of special whatever that you don't have. You know, and they almost talk down to you. Have you ever been to a church where you feel you're talked down to? Like you're not high and lifted up like they are. You know, that's because they stand on the platform. And you know, some pastors want to be more high and lift up so they get a bigger platform or whatever. But, you know, you realize that we're all the same. You know, Jesus Christ died for all of us. Not just for the ministers. And some ministers act like I said, they just know it all. You know, but they don't. They're just acting like it. All right? But Paul says, I didn't use impressive words. You know, sometimes I hear people pray, I'm like, I can't pray like that. I don't. Now, you know, there are some people, whenever they, you know, get up here and they pray and they use impressive words, that's how they talk. And I'm fine with that. What I'm not fine with is the people who actually have to go to the dictionary and the Google and find impressive words to them to tell you. Now, normally when I minister, I very seldom actually even pull out Greek words or Hebrew words and tell you what it means, because I don't really know what it means. The only way for me to know what it means is for me to, you know, go, well, now people use Google more than anything else or some kind of search engine, but, you know, used to, we had, you know, Strong's and Vines and all that stuff, and I just looked it up. But there are some ministers who look it up, but then act like that they knew this for years. You know, in fact, whenever the scripture I just quoted a minute ago, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God, my grandfather always talked about the Greek word there means continuous action. That's why it's hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. And I always, usually when I quote that, I say the Greek word, I don't know, because I don't know what the Greek word really is. I don't care about the Greek word. You know, if you can't even figure out the English words, you're never going to figure out the Greek words. But it's not, we shouldn't come to church to be impressed by the pastor's rhetoric or whatever he says. I mean, I can barely speak, so it doesn't really matter. That's why I really fit in with this verse here, because it's really not about what I know and how much I know. It's about who I know. And it's about me telling you about who I know so you can know the same person that I know, so it will change your life. The next verse here, verse number 2, says this, and this is what I really wanted to get to. For I decided, so Paul decided, while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. You know, it's time for us to forget everything else, but remember Jesus Christ and the one that was crucified. You know, and I think all of us need to decide that it's really not about me going out to the world to show people what I know and how good I am and how good I can speak, but it's for me to go out and show how good Jesus is and how much he changed my life. And because of the cross, because Jesus came, that I can live life and have it more abundantly. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus heals today. And Jesus sets people free today. And people changes your life today. And if you can get a hold of the same Jesus that I know, it will change your life. It will set you on fire. It will make you excited. But you know what? If I'm just talking about my opinion and how much I know, you'll never get to know the same Jesus that I know. And it's time for us ministers and us Christians to quit talking about ourselves and how much God's done in our life and talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I believe we should use Paul's example. You know, it's not about me. It's not about how good I am. It's not about what I can say, but it's only about Jesus Christ. You know, it's not about anything. You know, and if it is ever about me, it's about who I am in Christ Jesus. Not about who I am, because without Jesus, I would be nothing. Do you realize without Jesus, you would be on the road to hell? I mean, it's, you know, it's been pretty miserable the last few days, you know, 100 degrees or close to 100 degrees with the humidity over 100 degrees. It's not even close to what hell would feel like. And if it wasn't because of the cross, that's where you would be going. I mean, have you ever thought, what if the Bible actually wasn't what the Bible is? What if Adam and Eve ate from the tree and God says, forget you guys, you're all going to hell? I mean, you guys can live a miserable existence on earth and then whenever it's done, you're going to hell. Now, no one ever thinks about that, but I do. You know, I mean, do you realize that the cross changed your destiny? But something and I think a lot of Christians do realize that, but what a lot of Christians don't realize is the cross changed their destiny here on the earth. See, it's not about when we all get to heaven, what a glorious and wonderful day it will be. You know, I know you may sing the old song, and you know, when I grew up, when I was younger, it was all about, you know, one fine day, soon and very soon, the roll is going to call up yonder, and we're going to be there, and that's great, and heaven's great, and this is great, you know, but we're living in a hellhole right now. No, it's not about that. You know, my Jesus, he came and he died so that I could live life more abundantly. Now, what does that mean? That means here on the earth, not just when I get to heaven. You know, and there are so many Christians that don't use what Jesus gave us on the cross because they don't really understand about what Jesus Christ and him crucified really means to us. You know, but it's all about Jesus. And in fact, many people think, well, you know, only ministers need to be talking about this. No, each and every one of you, every day of your life, should be bringing Jesus Christ and him crucified to anyone that you're around. Now, I'm not here to tell you you should bring condemnation to people, but you should show forth the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart to a lost and dying and hurting world. Man, there's people that are hurting, especially during this last year and a half with this pandemic and the one thing that's trying to creep back in to us again is fear. I mean, you know, we spent a whole year trying to combat fear and now it's popping up again, you know, and everybody's afraid of this. But you know what? If we understand the cross, if we understand what Jesus did, if we understand that 39 stripes were laid on his back, and by his stripes we were healed. Not we're going to get healed, but we were healed. We were set free from every sickness and disease that will ever affect mankind, whether it has a name or it doesn't have a name, whether it's a new disease, an old disease, or whatever disease, Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back for every disease and sickness that will ever, ever affect your life. It also tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Why should we be afraid? Because Jesus Christ and him crucified changed my life. And I don't have to be afraid. You realize that you choose to be afraid, and that is not God's will for your life. Everybody say, well, I want to follow God's will for my life, but the Bible clearly says, you know, not to be afraid. There's tons of scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament that says something like, fear not, or do not fear. And every time that you hear something or you see something that causes you to maybe for an instant have some fear, you should pour the word on the inside and say, I'm not going to fear that. Why should I fear? Because you know what? I know Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I know what, you know, why I don't have to fear. Because Jesus took away my fear. You know, and it's up to us to go to our world and show Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Show what happened on the cross. You know, it's not just about our songs, you know, at the cross where I first saw the light. You know, all the, you know, great. I mean, our songs are great, but you know what? Did you really see the light? Did it really change you? That wonder-working power and all that kind of stuff, all those, you know, great hymns that you sang as a little kid, even some of the songs you sing today, do you really believe what you're singing? Because people believe what they're singing when they're here in church and they're worshiping God, but whenever they're facing the real world, they forget about the cross. They forget about what was done. They forget about all the things that Jesus did. You know, and I understand we come to church to be reminded, but every once in a while you should remember what you hear. And if you can't remember what I said or the other pastor said, maybe you can read it for yourself. My grandfather says the number one reason why people do not get their needs met is because they don't know the word. God's word works. God's word works for you. God's word works for me. But you need to know what God's word says. And God's word says that 2,000 years ago, that Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes you were healed. Jesus died upon the cross, and he shed his blood so that you could live life and have it more abundantly. Not just here, but in heaven to come. It's all about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul goes on to say, verse 3, I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speech, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I know there's some people out there that says, you know what, I don't really know a whole lot, and you know, maybe I haven't even been saved, you know, very long, and I don't really have any kind of public speaking things or whatever. I don't really have the words to say. It doesn't matter, because if you know Jesus Christ and him crucified, if you know the power of the Holy Spirit, if you'll just show up and let God work through your life, it'll be life-changing to people. It'll be life-changing to people, because it's not really about you. It's not about any kind of minister. I mean, you know, if ministers think it's about them, they're dead wrong. And pretty soon they'll probably be dead because they're wrong. You know, pride comes before a fall. It's not about you. And so don't tell me that you're not worthy enough or good enough or whatever to share Jesus Christ to the world. Because you are. Paul talks about, you understand that Paul had his conversion, you know, and a few days later, you know, a few months later, he was starting churches. He was preaching, you know, and although he was educated, you know, in the things of the world, I mean, he was just what we would consider a baby Christian. And he's over there starting churches and bringing forth God's revelation. You know, and the things that he wrote to his churches are things that you quote on a daily basis. You know, and I think about this a lot. What if Paul never changed his life from Saul? I mean, think of all the scriptures that would not have been written. Now we want to believe that God would have used somebody else to write those same scriptures. But I don't know how many times that there are scriptures that I quote that Paul penned to his churches that utterly I use on a daily basis. Some scriptures that I read every day that Paul wrote to his churches. You know, and it's just interesting. No matter how weak that we think we are, it's not about you, not about who you are. It's about who you are in Christ. And just like my message on Monday night, if you didn't hear it, go to Rhema USA YouTube app. You know, when you realize who you are in Christ, you become a superman or a superwoman, because it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Anyway, he goes on to say, I'll go back. It says, rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. See, it's not for us to put our trust in any kind of man or any kind of woman or any kind of wisdom. You know, what is one of the biggest catchphrases of this last year and a half? Trust the science. And after they say those words, then the science keeps changing. Anyone notice that? I mean, I don't even know what the science says. I do know what Simon says because I played the game, all right? But I don't care what the science says. I don't care what Simon says. I only care about what one thing, what Jesus Christ said, what God said. And God doesn't change, and Jesus doesn't change. And I don't put my trust in the science. I don't put my trust in the wisdom of man. But I put my trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I do believe in having an education, and I do respect people who have been educated. But it doesn't matter how much you've been naturally educated. If you don't know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you're pretty much worthless. Now, I don't mean you're a worthless human being. I mean, you know, I don't mean that you can't be saved. But I mean, you know, that you're trying to tell us what you know. And, you know, and it's good. I mean, you know, there are many times where we hear the facts. Now, I have an accounting degree, and, you know, in accounting, it's all about the facts. You have this amount of money or you don't have this amount of money. All right? And, you know, but it doesn't matter what the facts say. Now, it's okay to know the facts. Now, the problem is right now we can't figure the facts out because we don't really know. You know, nobody knows. But the facts are facts. But you know what? My faith is more important than my facts. My faith is more important than my facts. See, he says that I came to you with the power of the Holy Ghost, so you put your faith, not in me, not in any man, but you put your faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where my faith is. My faith is not in my president. My faith is not in my governor. My faith is not in my mayor. My faith is not in my police department or the military. My faith is in God. And actually, you know, a long time ago, they put that on our money. In God we trust. It doesn't say to put our faith in the government. It says to put our faith in God. Now, I know after they put it on there, somebody wants to take it off, but I'm telling you that I'll fight like crazy to never lose that because I want to continue to be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You know, I put my trust in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And my life doesn't get changed today. It was changed 2,000 years ago. And I think if we get a hold of that fact, see, if we start believing what happened 2,000 years ago, and that's why it's so important to have the table like this so that we can remember, see, this is bringing back into remembrance what Jesus Christ did for us. And it was because His broken body and because His shed blood that you were changed. Not you're going to change, you were changed. Things changed. There was a shift 2,000 years ago. And see, many of you, what happens, many of us, because the devil, El Diablo, the thief, that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he tries to say, hey guys, like, get a hold of the facts, look at the facts, or whatever. But the fact is that Jesus Christ died upon the cross and that Jesus Christ took the stripes on His back, and that's the facts, and that will never change. And I'm here to bring Jesus Christ and Him crucified to a lost and dying and hurting world. Amen? I want to read this from the Amplified real fast. Because I think that Paul knew at some point in time, 2,000 years later, that there would be social media. And people would go overboard. That's why he wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1 through 5. And that's from the Amplified Version. Interesting, when I read this, it says, "And when I came to you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming to you the testimony of God concerning salvation through Christ." That's what it's all about. It's about getting saved. Salvation through Christ. Because, you know, until you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you're never going to understand the power of what happened on Calvary. All right? It goes on to say, "I did not come with I didn't come more highly than I ought. All right. Of speech or of wisdom. No lofty words of eloquence or of philosophy as a Greek order might do. For I made the decision to know nothing. That is to forego philosophical or theological discussions regarding inconsequential things and opinions." All right? That's where Facebook comes in. Paul says, "I'm not here to argue with you about theology, you know, on social media. Because it doesn't really matter. The only thing that really matters is that people get saved and people understand what the cross means. Because how many people get online and want to argue about theology? And you're going to get online today and people are going to be arguing about theology. That doesn't really mean a hill of beans. You know, I get it. Some people might have it right and some people might have it wrong, but you know what? It's their right to believe what they want to believe, and you're not going to change their mind. But I tell you what really does matter is that they spend an eternity in heaven. And if many people would quit arguing about philosophical and theological discussions regarding inconsequential things and opinions, and promote Jesus Christ and him crucified, more people would go to heaven. I know some people that spend their entire, you know, life, I mean, whenever they're not at work, arguing inconsequential things on social media. And you do too. And then I think there's some people that want to argue just because they want to argue. But who cares? All right? It's inconsequential. And I thought, whenever I read that, I'm thinking, man, did God know Facebook was going to exist? Which he did. I guess he knows the beginning from the end. But I thought that was pretty interesting. It goes on to say, it says, "For I made the decision to know nothing, that is to forego philosophical or theological discussions regarding inconsequential things and opinions, while among you accept Jesus Christ and him crucified in the meaning of his redemptive substitutionary death and his resurrection." Do you understand that Jesus became our substitute? He suffered and died so you would not have to suffer and you would not have to die. He became our substitute. All right? You know, he was the one, you know, maybe you were on the field and Jesus says, "Put me in, coach. I don't want them to get beat up. I don't want them to go to hell. Put me in to substitute so they can have life and they can have it more abundantly." And that's what we're celebrating today. And many people today, they're going to celebrate, you know, discussing inconsequential things. And today we can celebrate Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what he wants us to do. That's the whole point of the table. You know, and I wish more Christians would get a hold of this. I wish more Christians would read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 in the Amplified Version. Because maybe they would quit doing some of the things that they're doing. Anyway, it goes on, verse number 3, I came to you in a state of weakness and in fear and in great trembling. Do you understand? He says that whenever he stood up there to speak, that he was trembling on the inside. Because he didn't feel adequate. How many times have you been in that situation where you didn't feel adequate? You didn't feel that you really knew it all. But it's not about you being a know-it-all. It's about you knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all that really matters. That's all that really matters. Do you know Jesus? And can you share it with the lost and dying and hurting world? You know, it's not about how good you are. It's not about, you know, whether you're a great orator or not. I don't think I'm a great orator. I can't even say a word up here. I'm not even going to try it again. I was going to try to say it again, but anyway. Goes on to say, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, using clever rhetoric. You know, it's not about me being all clever and cute and whatever. You know, I get it. I mean, people like it if you have fancy titles and fancy words and fancy stuff. But you know, a lot of people go to church and they go home and hear fancy words and it doesn't change them because they didn't hear about Jesus Christ and him crucified. They heard about fancy rhetoric, fancy words, and maybe some inconsequential theology. But it's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. All right, goes on to say, but they were delivered in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit operating through me and of his power, stirring in the minds of the listeners and persuading them so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom and rhetoric of men, but on the power of God. It's all about the power of God. And if we'll bring Jesus Christ and him crucified, if we'll bring that to a lost and dying and hurting world, and we'll decide to not give ourselves, but to give him to that world, then we'll see the power of God operating, because it's not about you. It's not about you trying to do anything. It's not about you showing off. That's right. That's right. It's not about you, because, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I healed the man. You didn't heal that man. You don't heal anybody. Jesus healed that man. And it's because of Jesus Christ and him crucified that man was healed. You know, it wasn't your message. It's not your ministry. It's not even your words. It's his words. And if we'll be more simple, we'll change more people. You know, I found out people don't really want to follow someone that they can't really understand. And they can't relate to. I mean, I want to be relatable. You know, it's not that hard to relate to me. It's not that hard to understand. I mean, I'll tell you when I'm struggling. I'll tell you when I'm going through things, because, you know, I want you to understand that you know, like I said, you know, I've had an issue with my kidneys, and I've just had a recent test, and it's at the number where my doctor was considered in remission. Now, they won't say you're healed. They'll say remission. All right, but it's still higher than normal. But they say it's an acceptable level. Well, I don't want to be acceptable level. I want to be a normal level. You know, I know I'm a little abnormal, but I kind of want to be normal. All right. So, but the point is that anytime that I'm going through something, I'll let you know about it, because you know what? I want you to pray with me, and I expect you to do the same thing. I expect you to let me know what's going on in your life, so we can pray with you. So many people, they want to hide, you know, when they're going through a battle, you know, from their fellow believers. And that's not very smart. You know, well, I don't want to, it's embarrassing to, you know, that it's not embarrassing. The devil attacks us all. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But if we'll know, you know, what this table means, we can come against the power of the enemy. And I tell you what, it's not about you. It's never about you. It's about who you are in Christ Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want you, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember your life changed 2,000 years ago. And the next time you're facing a battle, understand that battle, that the answer came 2,000 years ago. Because some people are praying for an answer to a problem that was solved 2,000 years ago with Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I mean, if you're believing God for your healing, that's already, you were healed 2,000 years ago. That's why we sing the song that Jesus is the answer. Because He is, and He was, and He is to come. You know, it's all about Jesus and all about Him crucified. And if we'll start proclaiming that to the world, we're going to see Jesus start acting up. What do you mean acting up? Well, the power of God will happen because people will get a hold of the power of God. And they'll see that because instead of trying to push our agenda, we start pushing His agenda. Yes. How many times in here recently we heard about the agenda that somebody has? I don't know who somebody is, and I don't know what kind of agenda they're pushing. I'm only pushing one agenda, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified and how He changed your life 2,000 years ago. And Jesus saves, and Jesus heals, and Jesus is coming again. Just that simple. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You. We thank You, Father, for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth, to die upon the cross, to take stripes on His back, so our life would be changed. And Father God, help us as Christians to forget about all this meaningless stuff, theology that doesn't mean a hill of beans, but help us to only bring Jesus Christ and Him crucified to this lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank You for more people getting saved, more people getting healed, more signs, more wonders. And we thank You, Father, that we do everything in Your strength and Your might and Your glory. Father God, we thank You right now as we're here in this room. We thank You, Father, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that has never accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, we thank You that today will be a life-changing experience for them. If you're here in this room and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, before we take communion today, I would like you to lift your hand, and we want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So if you're here and you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you said, Craig, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I've kind of turned my back and I went away. And today on Communion Sunday, I want to rededicate myself to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray for you. Or maybe you need to have what my grandfather always called a no-so experience. You don't know whether you've ever been saved or not. You don't ever remember coming to Jesus, accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. Across this auditorium, if anyone is here, never been saved, or they want to rededicate their life to God, or they want to have a no-so experience, lift your hand. Amen. I'm looking across the auditorium. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank You if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as His Lord and Savior. We thank You that laborers will come across their path and keep bringing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we thank You, Father, that they will make that life-changing decision. And we give You the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen and amen.